Jackstraw Productions presents Margaret Jean, A Radio Portrait. This is the story of a woman who stood up for what she believed, sometimes in the face of ferocious opposition. This is the story of a teacher, a counselor, a union worker, an activist. This is the story of Margaret Jean.
Well, she was born in Tacoma. She was the oldest of six children. Very much a mother figure always.
Her friend, Eleanor Anderson. Before the outbreak of the First World War, Margaret Jean's father, Frank Wheeler, moved his family to a farm near White Bluffs in eastern Washington.
They were struggling then at that point. It was hard making a living as a farmer at that point. He was an orchard farmer.
Frank, who's that driving up?
Must be Marion's teacher. Come for that talk she wanted.
Go meet her, Frank.
Let her come to us.
Now you be nice. Go say hello.
All right.
Jean.
Yes, Mother?
Will you go find Marion for me?
Yes, Mother.
Marion! Where are you?
Shh! Jean.
Marion, what are you doing under the porch? Come out of there. Your teacher's here.
I know.
Are you in trouble? What did you do?
She said I was a bad citizen because I wouldn't buy her old war stamps.
Well, she's here, so you better go in.
Daddy doesn't have to buy war stamps.
Marion, come on.
Stay with me, Jeannie, please.
Would you like a cup of coffee?
I'll be right here. Thank you very much.
Certainly.
Now, why don't you tell us what this is all about?
Mr. Wheeler, I'm sure I don't have to remind you that our country is at war.
Oh, I know about that, all right.
Mm-hmm. And it is the duty of every citizen, from the youngest to the oldest, to do his part to defeat the Hun.
Is that a fact?
It is a fact.
So I suppose this 7-year-old girl is not pulling her weight in the war effort?
She is the only child who has refused to buy war stamps. I have done what I could to persuade her, but I have exhausted my resources. I thought it best to come to her parents.
I heard about your persuasion techniques. You called her up to the front of the class and poked her with a stick.
A child as shy as Marion, how dare you?
It was necessary, but it was to no avail. She is stubborn. You are my last hope.
Oh, horse manure.
Frank.
Well, it is. Here, just listen to this, here in the paper. Well, where is it? Here it is. Germany's peace note, if pretense it be, fully justifies before all the world the prolonging of the war with force to the utmost. Force without stint or limitation. Now that is horse...
Frank!
Well, you know.
Didn't President Wilson promise to keep us out of the war?
So he did, Margaret Jean, when he was running for office. And now we're in it up to our necks. Your Grandpa Wheeler must be turning in his grave.
Grandpa Wheeler? I don't understand.
My father was in the Civil War. It made a pacifist of him quick enough.
A pacifist?
And a man of God. A missionary in India and all.
What about you, Mrs. Wheeler? Surely as a mother you can see
I think Eugene V. Debs put it well when he said that this is a rich man's war being fought by the poor who have nothing to gain by it.
So you can see that little Marion is just part of a Wheeler family tradition.
Well, not so bad.
Yes, you are. Be quiet.
I had no idea I was walking into a nest of subversives. I feel I must tell you. I consider a refusal to cooperate with the war effort to be tantamount to treason.
Oh, now you stop right there. I've heard just about as much of this as I'm going to.
So have I. Good evening to you both.
I'm sure you know where the door is.
I never knew a teacher could be so close-minded.
Yes, Margaret Jean, it's a sad thing to see.
Well, I could be a better teacher than she.
No, I'm sure you could, dear.
Well, I've made up my mind. I'm going to be a teacher, and that's that.
You can teach me, Jean. You can teach me.
As soon as she graduated from Reed College, Margaret Jean began teaching at Woodland High School.
And one of her students there was her youngest brother Don. He told me later that she actually was the one that coached him and encouraged him to the point where he later got a scholarship to Rhodes.
Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. After more than a decade of growth, the American stock market has suddenly plummeted. And as their fortunes were wiped out, many captains of finance have also plummeted from the windows of their skyscraper offices. America has plunged into a period of darkness, the end of which no one can see.
Please sit here, sir. I'm Margaret Jean Wheeler. I'll be your caseworker.
I never thought I would need help from a social worker. After all, I have a PhD.
Oh? In what field?
Economics.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Seattle's Triumph Dance Hall. We'll be playing all your favorite dance tunes this evening, so get onto the floor and have a good time.
Excuse me, miss. May I have the next dance?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll just watch.
No, I've been watching you standing here, swaying with the music, and I don't believe I ever saw anyone who looked more like she wants to dance, so I'm confused. Do you or don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, then come on! Now, that's not so bad, is it?
It's wonderful.
Maybe I'll just watch, she says.
You're a very good dancer.
You're pretty good yourself. I'm Torvald, Torvald Danielson. Folks call me Tor.
I'm Jean Wheeler.
Pretty name. Are you from Seattle?
No, my parents own a farm.
Yeah. What are you doing in the city?
I'm a social worker. I share an apartment with my sister. She's an art student. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you know? I do quite a bit of painting myself.
Oh, you're an artist?
Well, I'm a sheet metal worker. I work for a shipbuilding outfit. Pretty good pay, lots of work.
Well, you're very fortunate. I see so many in trouble.
You've been working too hard, I can tell.
I suppose I haven't been doing very much for myself lately.
But you came to the Trianon tonight.
It was an impulse. I hardly ever act on impulse.
Lucky for me, you did. Jean, that was terrific. That was terrific. It may sound funny to say, but I feel like I've known you for a long time.
I know what you mean.
Thank you.
I like you, Tor.
Thank you very much. For our next number, we need a good baritone. And I think I see one out of the dance floor. Oh. Tor, come on up here.
Tor! Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tor Danielson. Oh.
So you sing too?
I love to sing, so don't go away. I'll be right back.
I'd like to dedicate this song to someone I've known for a long time, but not long enough. This is for you, Jean.
Oh.
I called you sweetheart, now we're strangers. Gee, it breaks my heart to see you day after day, turning away as much as...
Marion, he sounds exactly like that. Only I like Tor's voice better. It's more romantic.
I can't believe you're acting this way. What's the matter with you?
Isn't it obvious? I'm in love.
After only 3 weeks? Do you know what his politics are?
Marion, he's a worker. He builds ships.
Is he in a union?
Why don't you ask him yourself?
That's him? Now?
Coming.
My goodness, you're beautiful. Here, these are for you.
Oh, roses. Oh, Tor, these cost too much.
Nothing but the best for you.
Come in and meet my little sister.
Marion, this is Tor.
Hello.
A rare pleasure indeed. So you're the art student. I dabble a bit myself.
So I've heard. 100 times. Jean, how about a cup of tea for us art lovers?
No time for that. First things first.
Tor, get off your knees.
Not till you tell me you'll be my bride.
You can't be serious.
Can't I? I have a parson ready and waiting. We can do it right now, tonight. Marry me, Jean.
I'd marry you any time. Anywhere, Tor.
Throw on your wraps, girls. We've no time for lollygagging.
You are obviously both insane.
Come along, Marion. We'll need a witness.
I can't believe this is happening. It's only been 3 weeks.
You do something to me. Something that simply mystifies me.
Oh, Jean, I didn't know you were there.
You've been drinking again.
Just a nip to cheer me up.
You know. I wish you wouldn't drink so much. It's dangerous.
What you mean is I'll have another accident.
I wasn't meaning that.
Yeah,
well,
I had a few drinks before we went out that night, and the car skidded. I wasn't trying to hit the other car. I wasn't trying to break your back.
That's not what I meant.
You'll never let me forget that, will you?
I meant it's dangerous for you.
What do you care? I'm surprised you even noticed. You're so busy all the time.
What do you mean?
Meetings on Tuesday, rallies on Wednesday, handing out leaflets day and night. You hardly even know you got a husband.
That's not true.
Much less a drunk husband. Right, Marion?
Leave me out of it. I've got my hands full already.
Oh, with what?
I'm looking after little Nancy tonight while Jean goes to her meeting.
So, you're running off again, are you?
I'm doing what has to be done.
Oh.
The workers need all the help we can give them. You should know that. We'd be lost without the unions.
Unions? There aren't any jobs. What good is a union if there aren't any jobs? I go out there every day. Every day. There's not a shipyard around. Can't have 100 like me if they wanted, which they don't.
I can't stand here and argue. I've got to go.
Well, go ahead. Go fight for your cause, whatever it is this time.
Evictions. Families thrown out of their homes. Hundreds of them. We're planning a march. Why don't you come with me, Tor?
Why don't you skip it, Jean? Let's go to the movies instead, huh? Just you and me. What do you say?
I can't.
Oh. Suit yourself.
I wish I could help you.
I'm going to have to help myself. I'm thinking of heading east. I can't stay here anymore. I'm no good for you or the kid. You can see that.
Shall we get a divorce?
A divorce? Do you want one?
I think it might be a good idea.
Gentlemen, let us come to order. Thank you. Gentlemen, as you all know, the Depression has caused an alarming growth in labor unrest in the state of Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
And we all know that the Communist Party is behind it. They have crept into the unions, the churches, the schools, and the universities. They will do anything to destroy our way of life, and they must be stopped.
I say we band together to root them out. I say we make the Seattle police arrest all communist agitators.
Looks like the National Guard, too. I'm flattered.
Good Lord, they're all around us.
Okay, everybody, keep together. Show them we mean business.
Look out!
Move it!
Over here!
Look out!
Harvard men from all Chicago way.
Japan's grasp of strategic Guadalcanal Island appeared to be slipping today, with the enemy's forces cut down to fewer than 4,000 men. The battle has been going on.
Today, the War Labor Board dealt a three-way blow to organized labor by rejecting a drive to modify the wage ceiling and also turning down a petition for a public hearing, as well as cutting off an attempt to conduct a hearing to inform Congress, the American Federation of Labor, and the Congress.
Allied air power devastated German-held casino today with history's most heavily concentrated bombardment. Tonight, the heart of casino, where the Germans held out for more than 2 months, was a pile of smoking ruins. One general declared, and I quote, "It is quite impossible to see how there could be a living thing left there."
The issue is whether the United States is ready to be run by the radical bosses of the Congress of Industrial Organizations, the CIO. Another Roosevelt re-election will enhance their power far beyond any previous conception. Will, in fact, put it in a controlling position.
The Allies landed in the Normandy section of northwest France early today, and by evening had smashed their way inland on a broad battlefront, making good a gigantic air and sea invasion against unexpectedly slight German opposition. Allied losses in every branch were declared to be far less than had been counted on in advance.
One minute to target.
Hiroshima is coming into my viewfinder.
That's the target. Stand by.
Okay, the bridge is coming into the bomb site. I've got it.
Starting automatic sequence. Bomb away. Turning.
Flak! We've been hit! They're shooting at us!
Okay. That was a shockwave. There won't be any more. It wasn't flak. Stay calm. Now let's get these recordings going. All set?
Yes, Colonel.
Just describe what you see. Imagine you're doing a radio cast.
Well, there's a column of smoke rising fast. It has a fiery red core. A bubbling mass, purple-gray in color with that red core. It's turbulent. Fires are springing up everywhere like flames shooting out of a huge bed of coals. Too many to count. Here it comes, the mushroom shape that they told us about. It's like a mass of bubbling molasses. It's spreading out maybe a mile or two wide and half a mile high, growing up and up, nearly level with us and climbing. The base of the mushroom looks like a heavy undercast that is shot through with flames.
Patient.
We had a big apple orchard, Nancy. In harvest time, the whole family went picking. Even your mama, isn't that right, Jean?
That's right, Dad.
Bushels and bushels of juicy apples right off the tree. We had animals, too.
Bunnies?
Sure. Cows and pigs and chickens and dogs and cats.
Wow. Oh,
Frank, you make it sound like a zoo. It was hard work.
But it was a good life.
This is where it ought to be.
But where are all the apple trees, Grandpa?
Gone, honey. Everything's gone. Scraped bare.
Just a big, ugly fence with barbed wire on top. Did the government buy our land to do this? Why?
I don't know. But I'm gonna find out.
How, Dad?
I'm gonna look up my old friend, Ed.
Thank you.
Turn that darn thing down. We're trying to talk in here. Yeah, that's better. Now, make yourselves at home, everybody. Oh, is this pretty little girl your daughter, Jean? Huh? What's your name, darling?
Nancy.
Ah, that's a nice name. And where's your papa?
I don't know.
Why not?
I'm divorced, Ed.
Oh, well, my word. Oh, yeah, well, excuse me, I didn't mean to pry.
What's happened to White Bluff, Sid?
We call it Hanford now, Frank.
What are the feds doing over there that's so much more important than farming?
Oh, they did us a favor, Frank. They weren't farms, they were just places to sweat and grumble about. Hard labor and low earnings.
Not so. Not so at all.
Any idea how much I make now working for the feds? I clear more in 1 month than I did most years as a farmer.
Well, where's the satisfaction? Where's pride in your work?
Oh, we're a proud bunch here at Hanford. We helped win the war.
What are you talking about?
Don't you read the papers?
I don't trust the papers.
Well, this is where they made the stuff in those A-bombs they dropped on Japan, right here behind those gates.
Dirty.
Oh, no, Ed.
Not on our farm.
I should have caught on, but I didn't.
What's the matter?
I cannot believe that you could boast about killing thousands of civilians.
Well, I suppose you'd rather Americans had died instead? It was the only way to win the war. Truman said so.
All those burned victims? The dead? The worse than dead?
I'm so ashamed I can hardly speak.
What? Didn't you want us to win?
Let's go. Let's go right now.
I suppose you'd rather the Russians had the bomb, eh, Frank? Would that make you happy?
Now, has everyone chosen a topic to write about? Bill, what's your idea?
Well, I thought I'd write about my car.
Your car?
Well, yeah. Well, see, the handbrake isn't too good, see? And one night I was with my girl and we were parked on this... slope on the backside of Capitol Hill. Well, and the brake sort of let go.
That's fine. But don't tell me about it. Write it down. And don't leave anything out. Right, class? Anyone else? Michael.
I want to write something about the industrial workers of the world.
The Wobblies?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine, but you know that even though this is Seattle Labor School, you don't have to pick a labor topic.
I know, I'm just interested. Do you know about the Centralia Massacre?
Yes, in 1919.
Mm-hmm. Well, I looked it up in the Seattle paper, and it said that the Wobblies just started shooting at an American Legion parade.
You'd better read a copy of the old Union record, too, Michael. The Legionnaires were attacking the Union Hall when the shooting started. They overwhelmed the men in the hall, beat them, and dragged them into jail. They hanged a man from the Centralia Bridge.
What? Really? Is there anybody I can talk to?
Of course there is. You could even start with me, I suppose. I was 15 years old. My dad was enraged. Many of his friends were Wobblies. Seaman Services, can I help you?
Yes, hello. I was injured on duty in the Coast Guard, but I'm having a heck of a time getting my benefits.
Oh, just come into the Seaman's Hall and I'll show you how to apply. My desk is the first thing you see as you come in.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Oh, hello.
Morning, Mrs. Danielson, is that right?
Call me Jean, like everyone else.
Well, I'm Hal Shudikoff, a ship steward by trade.
What can I do for you?
Well, I heard that you were real active in the union. Now, is that right?
I've been active with the CIO for close to 10 years, and I teach at the Seattle Labor School.
Well, I'm a union man myself, have been all my life. Now, you see these scars? Yeah, I got them in a big East Coast waterfront strike. Bulls tried to bust up the Seaman's Union. It didn't work. Oh, but they laid me up for a good while.
That's terrible.
Well, shucks, I'm all right now. I was just wondering if...
Oh, excuse me. Seaman Services, 1 minute, please.
Wondering if you and me could meet somewhere else some night. I sure would like...
Mr. Shudikoff.
Hal.
Hello, Seaman Services.
Yes, hello.
Mrs. Shudikoff.
No, Danielson. This is Mrs. Danielson.
I thought I heard you say your name was Shudikoff.
I'm talking to a Mr. Shudikoff. I'm not Mrs. Shudikoff.
Not yet, anyway.
What did you say?
I said I sure would like to get to know you better.
Is this a bad time?
No,
can I call back?
No, just hold on. I'll be right with you.
Is this a bad time? Look, should I come back?
It's all right, Hal. I think I would like that.
Well, you would?
Here's my number. Hmm. Now, scoot. I have work to do.
Don't worry. I'll call you real soon.
I'm not worried. Now, where was I? Oh, the phone.
Be sure to listen for episode 2 of Margaret Jean, when you will hear...
There's something else, Hal.
Hmm.
I've been subpoenaed.
Subpoenaed? By who?
The House Committee on Un-American Activities.
You? Old high muckety-muck in the PTA? In the Methodist Church, for crying out loud? They think you're a commie?
So they say.
Well, why'd they pick on you?
A woman named Barbara Hartle has been naming names. Mine was one of them.
She's full of beans. You, a commie. That's a hot one. Now look, you get a lawyer now. A good one.
I've got one. A man with the ACLU.
Why in the world would this Hartle woman make up a bunch of lies about you? She is lying, isn't she? Jean? Isn't she?
Margaret Jean, A Radio Portrait, was produced by Jack Straw Productions, Seattle. Executive producer is Joan Rabinowitz. Producer is Jesse Minkert. Performances directed by Paula Swenson. Doug Hare, engineer. Script by Jesse Minkert, adapted from material provided by Eleanor Anderson. Margaret Jean was played by Amy Mack. Larry Albert was Ed, Frank R. Kent, and a man on the phone. Kurt Beatty was the second newsman. Maureen Hawkins was young Marion and Nancy. Jeff Klein was Tor, Michael, a demonstrator, and the bombardier. Linda Livingston was Margaret Jean's mother. Scott McDonald was a vigilante. Jim Monitor was Hal and a newsman. Terry Edward Moore was Frank Wheeler and the bandleader. Bob Ogilvy was the unemployed economist and the B-29 pilot. Marianne Owen was the teacher and the adult Marion. Clark Sanford was Bill and a vigilante. Special thanks to Eleanor Anderson, Pearl Castle, Dave Gardner, Nick Johnson, Ken McDonald, Pam Seaman, and George Starkovich. I'm Stevie Kalis. Support for this production was provided in part by the Seattle Arts Commission, the King County Arts Commission, the Washington State Arts Commission, and the Jack Straw Foundation. Thank you for joining us. Been a presentation of Jack Straw Productions, Seattle.